Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax on this Monday hasty treat. We're going to be talking about our flow for creating features, dealing with bugs, and just all around working on our platform. What kind of things that Wes and I do? Now, this isn't necessarily going to be a definitive de facto. This is how you should do it, but more or less a conversation between Wes and I, where we just share sort of what are our approaches right now, how they could be better. Maybe, you know, we can pontificate a little bit on that. Maybe. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a full stack developer from Denver, Colorado. And with me, as always, is Wes Boss. What's up, Wes?
Oh, not too much. I just tweeted about this like sleep thing. I got this like watch about sleeping, or it's a watch and it tracks your sleep. And I realized the watch is at least telling me I don't get very much deep sleep.
What OS does the watch run? I'm actually interested in that.
It is, I don't know. It's a Garmin Vivo Active 3. I don't know what it runs on, but it does like heartbeat or heart rate and some interesting stuff on it. I think it's kind of cool. I've never thought I'd be a watch person, but I got it as a gift and I actually think it's kind of cool. Anyways, I've been wearing it at night to see what my sleep is like. And I've been wearing it for 4 nights and it's actually I've gotten 4 good nights of sleep, which is rare for me, so I have like 4 days and the deep sleep, it's telling me I'm not getting a lot at all. So I tweeted about it and I'm having all these unreal answers, like lots of very helpful stuff from people saying, some people are saying can't trust the watch. Other people are saying, get a sleep study. Some person said, put tape on your mouth. And I looked up these like Amazon mouth tape. That looks like something that like a terrifying someone with a van would put on your mouth. It's like,
oh God. And you showed me this before the show started. And my first opinion on it was, this is scary. This thing is like creeps me out. We got to share this photo in the show notes or something because this straight up creeps me out. I don't like it. I really don't like it.
So that's how I'm doing. I'm super distracted by these people sleeping with their mouths taped. Seems like they're going to get robbed or something like that.
So, we don't like that. We don't like the mouth tape shut while you're sleeping, but we do like Sentry, which is one of our awesome sponsors. They've been sponsoring Syntax for a long time and for good reason, because this is a software that both Wes and I use personally in our projects. Now, this is a very fitting sponsorship for this episode because Sentry is one of the things that I utilize every single time in my workflow for tracking new features and bugs. I attach releases to each of my releases within Sentry. So that way I can say, hey, Sentry, this source map and this Git commit are all attached to this particular release. And if you find any bugs in this release, please let me know about it. And then you can categorize and catalog your bugs by release. And you can see if the ones that you think that you fixed in this particular release have actually been fixed in the release. And that's really key and definitely something that I've been needing to dive into much more and more as my application grows. So if you want to try out Sentry, head on over to Sentry at sentry.io. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word, and you're going to get 2 months for free. That's got to be enough time to do a release and check out some of these release features, because if you're doing this kind of thing, you're going to want those features. So let's get into it.
Feature and release planning. The way that it works, I'll sort of like dwell on my own course platform, which is me and another dev who work on it, as well as past stuff that I've worked on for bigger companies that have a proper project managers and proper release cycles and versions and things like that. So the way that it's always worked for me is that you log all of the features that you'd like to see into some sort of software. And this actually goes for bugs as well, where you have things that you'd like to fix in your platform, whether they are regressions or bugs or new features like that you like to use. So I currently use GitHub. I use issues in my own GitHub. And then I put those into the GitHub like Kanban board. I don't know. You know that thing where it's like Trello where you drag and drop into different columns? Is that called Kanban board?
Yeah, Kanban board. Is it Japanese? It's spelled it is Japanese. Hey there, look at me with my Japanese language skills. It's not spelled with an H though, so you have it as with an H. It's Kanban. When I see that kind of spelling, I think, oh, that is a Japanese word. So Kanban, it would be Kanban board.
Sounds like something I want to like. Man, I went to this amazing Japanese restaurant the other night and I had the Kanban board. Such delicious little things. Just a nice board of miscellaneous things to eat.
I had a Kanban. Courtney had the bento. We did karaoke after. What other Japanese words can we throw in here?
So once I've got it into those things, I'll have like a column of like things I'd like to do or like needs talking about. So like just kind of like every time I have an idea, I just throw it into that column or create an issue and throw it into that column. And that doesn't mean that those are things that I'm going to implement. That doesn't mean that it's things that need to be done. It's just sort of like I have a place for it. And then if something comes up, I don't know, like 2 weeks later, I have somewhere to put it. I have a little bit of a home for it. And then when I want to actually work on them, I'll drag them into another column of like needs to be implemented. And then I'll have a list of all of the things that want to be implemented. And I'll just drag them up and down in order that I'd like to see them implemented. At the top is the one I want to do first. At the bottom is not so pressing. Lots of times people in the past I've worked on like use Jira and they have like a level that they want to have. At that time, they'll often assign like a quarterly or whatever release schedule for that type of thing. Mm-hmm. For me, it's just the order which I wish to implement them. Then when it comes time to work on something, you sit down and you tear off one of these features that you'd like to have. And then you move that into working on category. Then you do the work and make that feature actually implemented. And then when it comes time to pushing it, you test it, you write tests for it, and then you push that out to production after it's been tested. So, and then you just move the card into done, you close the issue and rinse and repeat through the entire way and the entire thing. That's my entire process. It's pretty simple because it's just me and another developer. There's much more complex processes I've used in the past working for different clients, but that's kind of what's been working for me and I've really been liking it.
So is your course platform public on GitHub? And do you have the ability, can they submit issues for yours?
No, all of it is private actually. And the way that it works is if I get an email from somebody or I get like a Twitter DM or a Slack DM or something like that, I'll usually talk to the person for a quick second because that's where a lot of like the good info will come from. And having developers as customers is really helpful because they'll often like think about, I want to make the skipping better. I want to fix the autoplay. Like, I think that would be a cool thing for you to do. And here's what I think about it. And they'll like almost like sort of how we sometimes get potluck submissions where the whole episode is detailed out. Often people will just give me like everything you possibly need. It's probably because developers are just trained to think in terms of like tickets.
Yeah, right.
And then no, none of it is public. It would be kind of cool to do that. But I also don't know that I want to have to manage something like that.
Right. I'm feeling the same way.
Where you have this like public thing and especially the entire course platform. Like maybe I could do like feature requests publicly.
Yeah.
But I don't want to release my entire code base. I have zero time to manage that type of thing and support it. And that's, as most open source maintainers know, it's a full-time job just doing that.
This is a thing that I'm really interested in, especially like the feature requests. I know there's a ton of services out there that do that. If you are a listener and you use something, I know User Voice is one of them. I want to hear if you're using a feature request platform that you really like and isn't super expensive and or is free or open source. So I'm interested in that kind of thing. It could be interesting to talk about. Do you use milestones within GitHub at all?
I don't. I know that they're in there, but I just kind of work on them and release them as quick as I can or as I feel like it. Obviously, things that are pressing to the user experience come first, and then features that I'd like to add sort of come after that. But I don't tie anything to a specific milestone.
Cool.
The other thing I just want to add is that we just finished recording with Etienne from Missive, and they use Canny, which is canny.io. It's just a service that you can use to allow people to upvote features and based on trending. So that's also it's something that I probably would like to like just do a course on one time, like maybe like a smaller little full stack course that I could do. We just build that, right? The ability to log in with GitHub, you vote once per thing, filter based on most popular within the last week, something like that. That'd be kind of a fun little course I'd like to put together at some point as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great idea.
Even for like potluck questions, wouldn't that be great?
Wow. Like a little voting platform. That is, that would be pretty darn easy to pull off. And could be cool. Awesome. Well, the way I do it here is I have two systems, essentially. I used to just keep everything in GitHub. I did the projects, the Kanban boards. I did the milestones. I have a lot of labels. My labels are fun. I have like emoji and all of my labels for my issues to make them cute. You know, if it's a speed thing, it has a rabbit running. If it's cosmetic, it has, you know, the fingernails getting painted. If it's a bug, it has a spider. That way you can see it's a bug. So, but it also says bug. It doesn't just have the spider. So all of my issues go within GitHub issues still. It's still bugs 100% of the time. Even if they end up sort of being attached to a release, they go in issues exclusively. I tend not to put bugs in my actual project tracking stuff that I use. And like you, I use a Kanban board for that stuff, but I actually use it in Notion, not GitHub.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason is because I like to track priorities and releases in terms of things that aren't maybe just purely code related, but also maybe some process things. And so the way I have my feature set up is I have a table within Notion that's just called priorities. And so I have the biggest problem of, as you probably all know by now, wanting to jump from thing to thing before I finish thing. And so it's like, oh, I'm 90% of the way through this new testing thing I've done. Let me just jump into something else entirely and I'll come back to this one. And the next thing you know, I have like 800 opened different projects. So I started this table largely as a way for me to say, you can only work at the thing that's at the top of your priorities list. Do not work on any of this other stuff. If you have ideas or anything, you can type them out into them, but don't work on the code because that's not your highest priority. And so my table has the name of the release with a version number. So it's a version number and then the main name of whatever that is. And then it has tags, whether or not it's for business development, front end, back end, enhancement, feature, those kind of things. And then it has the branch name for the branch that that version is. For instance, we have a branch on Cypress testing right now, and it says on the table, Eric Sartorius came up with this, and it's Cypress Hill is the branch. So we do a lot of fun branches, okay? So if you work for Level Up, we do fun branches. So
Wow.
I know. Every Friday is fun branch day where we get to make a fun branch. So enjoy those kind of benefits. We have and then a lead dev on it. So somebody leads up each project. For instance, Eric is leading up all of the Cypress testing. So his icon is there. And then I'm leading up version 2.4 here. I used to name all of my versions and releases after Pittsburgh Penguins players, but that got very confusing. Instead of being like version 2.4, it was like version Oily Mata. And people were like, what the hell is this? Like, if I had people work on the branch, like, do I really have to type out this Finnish person's name, their full name as the branch name? So that wasn't really a great way to do it. So now I just do by version number. I don't use Semver for this project. I want to say arbitrarily increment the version so it makes it feel like I'm making progress. I have the goals of each particular release. So the current version 2.4 release, I have the goals up at top above the Kanban board, and it's largely to improve user experience and tighten up things, and then also put in time-saving things for myself. So the goals are time-saving, tighten up, improve user experience, and then I have my Kanban board, which has four states, not started, in progress, testing, and completed. And so between Eric and I, we just assign each other different issues. And that's the nice thing about Notion is that I can assign something to Eric. I can just create it and then I can add comments. I can add any relevant links. Do you ever use the comment system within Notion?
No, I saw that you commented on something. Like we're selling our sponsors right now. And I saw that you commented on one of them And I was like, oh, whoa, I didn't even know that that was the actual feature that you could do.
Yeah, and it does a really nice little ping, and then there's a resolve button next to it. So he can message out and you know, have a question that says, hey, I'm trying to do this, but this, you know, somebody goofed up something, you goofed it up. And then so I can look at it and say, oh, I goofed it up, I fixed it, here you go, resolved. So we use Notion entirely for all of that tracking. And I like to have as many bits of, you know, tagging or assigning or anything in there. It seems like it's a lot of work, but I need it because for so long I've been too all over the place with what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. I need to have a system in place of to-dos, priorities, everything on my list, whether it's a bug or an issue, is labeled with a P1 through P4, which is the system that we got through getting things done. I also do the same for my daily to-do list. This allows me to quickly look at things and say, all right, this is a P1. This is the first thing I should look at. This is a P2 or priority two. It's less important, all the way to P4, which is get to these last or whenever you can. So I use the P1 through four system. And what else is important about my priorities? Each of my releases has a little emoji attached to it. I guess that's important. I usually just click add icon in Notion and it just gives me one. I just added an icon and there's like a guy levitating in a business suit. So I guess that's the emoji for this particular release. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, that's pretty much, I keep track of my issues. Notion has really changed that for me. Again, before I had a system, I was just sort of all over the place. What I would really love is for simple templates within Notion. I just tweeted about this the other day. What you can't do is you can't like just select a page and say, hey, turn this page into a template and then go from there. There's this whole weird template button thing that doesn't quite work the way you'd want it to. So I would really love to be able to just click new issue or whatever, or new priority, and have it do everything for me. But that's just how it is. This is how I do it. I know there's a ton of more complex systems. Again, I only have a couple of people in my Notion. I think there's like three people in my Notion working on this at a time. So obviously this would not scale to a team of 30, 40, 50 people. So we know a lot of our listeners do work on big teams like that, and teams that have to support those kind of systems. I would love to hear about what your system looks like. If you have a blog post, or if you have any sort of, you know, even just links, share this with us at Syntax FM. We will retweet you. We want our audience to hear what some people are doing in larger mm-hmm. and bigger, more intense groups of project planning. And I guess it's a little bit different since we're the single developers. Like, we are largely the people making the calls of saying, hey, this is what's going to get done next. This is where we're going. But it would be a totally different game if you had it coming from above. Somebody saying, you know what? You know that thing that you really wanted to work on? We're not doing that anymore. We got to do this other thing. So that would be a totally different world to me. And I'm interested in hearing about how you do and manage that.
Awesome. Anything else to add there?
Just share us with us your systems. And let us know if you hate what we're doing with our systems and think we should do it a better way.
Yeah, I would like to hear if people have better systems as well. Just like, I don't know, I've never really spent all of that much time on it. Like, I'm happy with it, but there's probably better ways to do it. I just don't want to get sucked into something that is more work.
Yes.
On the system than actual getting work done, because that's where you like sort of fall into this trap. And then before you know it, you're management and you're doing Jira all day long. You know, it sucks.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. These systems are supposed to make our lives easier and not more difficult. So if your system is making your life more difficult, that's a good sign. Not the right direction.
Awesome. Well, I think that's it for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you on Wednesday.
We will catch you on Wednesday. Later.
Peace.
Peace. Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.